Hi, everybody. This is the Mike and Abe Show, and we have Carolyn with us today.
Hello, how you doing?
As we have regularly, since she's such a genius, and you know, she just knows everything. You know, whatever we need to know, Carolyn knows. And
I'll just make it up.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'll just guess.
Okay.
Fair
on today's
what
show,
an educated guess.
Today is Saturday. What is it, April 26th, something like that? 27th.
Yeah, close enough. 27th. Yeah, I believe so.
It's 2 days after the current, or the TLC meeting on economics. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I just want to say one thing before we get started. There were about 20 or 30 speakers that spoke that day. But no one said the truth as good as Mike, who's on the line here.
Yep.
Okay?
Thank you.
You know, Mike, when you got up to speak, I said, finally, the Mike and Abe Show have made it to the TLC.
Right. When you were walking down the aisle to get to the podium, Mike, people were buckling their seatbelts. You know, well, like they knew something was coming.
Yeah. Well, I was kidding someone. I was the 437th speaker of the morning.
Yeah.
I got there a little bit late, and God bless them, everybody signed up, and I think the entire world was ahead of me. And I
they were
pulling up the caboose of the speaking. But I didn't get nervous. I mean, every now and then you get nervous when you get up to speak, but I was so ticked off at listening to these, let's be frankly, I mean, a lot of these cabbies are first-generation immigrants, and the board of the TLC, you can tell they're big, you know, chest-puffing progressives, and we're going to save the immigrants, and we're going to the immigrant. It's like, listen, you put immigrants out of business. You've ripped them off for millions of dollars, billions of dollars in the course of the last 5 years, and whatever came out of my mouth was just basically the culmination of a morning of listening to these guys saying they're broke, their friends killed themselves, they've sent their children to school, they don't have the money, blah, blah, blah. And then they have this thing, in my opinion, and I'm not being misogynist when I say I don't like the job Yoshi did, because I respect women in business. I mean, I like women in business because they're usually very pragmatic than a lot of the high-roller men who piss all the money away.
It was a woman who built Trump Tower, interestingly enough.
Built Trump Tower.
Yeah.
And it was Eve who had the first baby
in
the Garden of Eden.
Where would Trump be without his mother?
Oh, Trump, you know, it just keeps, the list goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it just, I was listening to them, all the thing in the news, we're going to do this, and De Blasio, I call him the blah, blah, Blasio, because he's a big windbag at this stage of the game. And you look at Joshi's track record, there's been no new medallions, there's no fare increase, the medallion price is down 90%, they have these courts where you're guilty before proven innocent. The great pet peeve from Abe here is there's no rates on the side of the cab doors. And you get these tourists, they look at the side of a cab door and say, how much is the... Instead of having rates, they have a T, an artsy-fartsy T that's been there for years. And apparently, the commissioners and the TLC and Yoshi, they're scared to death to take the T off the door and replace it with the rate of fare. I mean,
that's
you go to
because
any restaurant
they have a plan. They have a plan for you, and it's called upfront pricing, which is exactly what Uber and Lyft do, which means you're going to get less money for every trip, and that's why they don't want to put the rates on the doors. I think they first took them off the doors just to sow confusion among passengers. That was Ashwini Shabra's legacy. But now they think that you're going to go to this upfront pricing. So you can't have rates on the doors don't mean anything anymore. Oh, and getting back to Yoshi for a second, I was just reading an amended complaint. Uber is suing to have the cap lifted. Yoshi is quoted on page 1 of the amended complaint by the Uber lawyers saying, we don't need no stinking cap, basically.
That's what she said?
Not quite those words, but
This before or after she was a TLC?
It was as she was going out the door. She had had a final article. It might have been in Politico. I'm not 100% sure. But, yeah, I remember reading it at the time. She said, there's better ways, you know, to control the number of cars on the road. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and let's not forget De Blasio, the windbag, talking about Earth Day. We have to make the glass skyscrapers. We have to brick them up and the Earth Day. Are you freaking kidding me? You put 50,000 squats, 50,000 Uber cars into Midtown Manhattan in 5 years. Earth Day. If you want to kill the Earth, Mike, why don't you change? Let's kill the Earth Day. Mike, the Blasio will be the chairman of Let's Kill the Earth Day.
Mike, that's one of the things you said to Heinsohn, Mr. Heinsohn. Heinsohn, right? And yeah. I like the way you looked at him and said, Heinsohn, right? Yeah, okay. You know, but that's one of the things you said to him. I'm curious. What doesn't show in the video is his expressions, okay? When you mentioned the things that you did, okay? Such as the Earth Day thing and the customers getting into the taxi and going, what? 580? What? Let me out of here. You know?
Right.
You know? Which is,
what was his expression? I don't remember. Yeah. Or I couldn't see.
His expression was like a poker face. He had the commissioner poker face going. A couple of times he laughed at Earth Day. So I think he knows it's a bunch of bullshit.
The excuse for adding more cars. If you reduce the pollution from the buildings, that enables Uber to have more cars on the road, because that's how they think about these things. It's a balancing act. We're just a little ant farm, and this is an experiment for them, which would get us to the 14th Street line problem. Why is it that the L train, it's going to be running all the time. It'll just be once every 20 minutes, nights and weekends, right? Why is it that they're closing 14th Street to private vehicles 24/7? It's only going to be open to buses, trucks, and pickups and drop-offs, which means Uber, right? I don't think you're going to be able to get a yellow cab on 14th Street between 3rd Avenue and 9th Avenue. And that's 24/7. Why? Right. It's another experiment.
Wait a minute. If they do pickups and drop-offs, let's say somebody wants to get dropped off in a yellow cab on 14th Street, they can't enter?
Yeah, right. If I happen to see it and flag it down, I could get into it. But they're not going to be cruising. And maybe you don't want to be on 14th Street anyway during this debacle.
Why
are they closing it 24/7 when the subway is only going to have this slowdown nights and weekends?
Wait a minute. Let me just say this. How does one prove that they're going in for a pickup?
Yeah, I know. That's a problem with enforcement. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is ridiculous. This whole thing is ridiculous. You know, if I was in a yellow cab...
The one guy who was very good, Carol was great as always.
Yeah.
And the one guy who was here was like this first-generation dude who was talking about, give Guinea Friedman, and he said a lot of stuff, and what was he saying about...
Nikolai Hent,
Nikolai.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah, and he said something about the TLC had the chance to stop this legally because... Now, what was he saying, Carolyn?
How dumb could the TLC be? They must have known that Gene Friedman was cheating everybody and not sending in 30 censors and 50 censors and whatever else he was supposed to do, and then all these poor medallion owners are on the hook, money. They are. And everybody knew about it, so how did the TLC let him get away with it for that long? They should have shut him down a long time ago.
I think there's some fine print, something along the line. Owner was responsible for all surcharges or something like that.
We get a 200% penalty if you send in the congestion fee late.
Okay, so, but I mean, that's it. If some of these guys aren't sending in 30 cents a trip, how in the name of God can we trust them to send in $3 a trip?
My suggestion is that the meters be designed in such a way that the money goes right to the state. It doesn't even go through the medallion owner's hands. You're not doing them a favor, letting them have that float. Just let the money go right away. Or, I think they should do away with the surcharge altogether.
Pardon me, but I think I beg to differ. I think you are kind of doing them a favor, because if you give if I'm running 200 cars, hypothetically, and I get to hold $800,000 for a month, you're doing me a favor.
Talking about the individual owners, but I don't think anybody should have their hands on it. I think it should just all go to the state immediately. Oh, yeah, I just want to say one more thing about the 14th Street line. I was reading in the Wall Street Journal. No, it wasn't the Wall Street Journal. It was the New York Times this morning. They quoted Michael Moss. He's the head of the Rudin Center. That's Mirzoshi's new boss, where all the bad policies come from. He said the big winners of the 14th Street slowdown are Uber and Lyft. That's how people are going to come and go to bars and restaurants.
Well, wait a minute. You could enter from Fifth Avenue onto 16th Street, and drive to Union Square, where there's a few restaurants right over there. Okay, on Union Square West, is it? Okay, and make a right turn on Union Square West. Go to 15th Street. I guess will they block off the access to 14th Street from there? You know, I mean, this.
No,
whole thing,
the point yeah. is. There's going to be less cabs around, and there's going to be more Ubers and Lyfts. Well, I'm sure that's what's going to happen. And then, you know, after a year or two, people will just be used to taking Uber and Lyfts all the time, and they won't even think about taking a yellow cab.
Well, that's their plan. I don't know that that'll actually happen.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to say...
they keep doing everything to herd us away from the money. Everything is designed
yes.
to push the yellow cab mm-hmm. away from money. If it's
right.
The expression, if it's chicken shit, they want to push us towards that. But
right.
anything remotely close to making a living and using the yellow cab for being a yellow cab, they want to direct us and divert. Look, like the other guy, what was it, Nikolai? Who's this Nikolai? This guy was one of the better speakers.
He's a medallion owner. He came from Romania.
Okay.
He bought a medallion, I don't know, 20 years ago.
Okay.
He was best friends with Nikanor
right,
Okisor,
right, that's what I was
who
ask.
Killed himself
right.
last
oh,
year.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll take, because he said something of LaGuardia, which is very true. You're taking a cab at LaGuardia, you say, yes, I want to get a cab. Okay, get on that bus. What? You got to get on the shuttle bus. So at LaGuardia, because there's construction, they say you have to get on a shuttle bus
yeah.
to take the shuttle bus to a cab stand. And you got Uber cars sitting in front, and you got all these bogus Uber cars who keep saying, oh, you want an Uber? Do you want an Uber? It's like, they're not Uber, because you can just hit your phone to get an Uber. But they
right.
basically put the yellow cabs in the one of the seas of Europa at the far end
yeah.
of the airport. And if you want to get into that cab, you have to get on a free shuttle bus that takes you to the cab, and then the cab takes you to the city, and blah, blah, blah. So why in God's name the yellow cab is in front and center at the terminal, it's another Uberism. And you get all these little sneaky little deals being made, and it just especially the $2.50 per trip increase, there was no public hearing, there was no due process. It's just all of a sudden slapped in the meter, and they say, oh, no, it's not a fair increase. It's like, okay. So I'm not going to raise your rent. I'm just going to charge you more money. That's what they're basically saying. Oh, I'm not raising your rent. I'm just going to charge. If you try to pull that with housing, let's say, oh, my God, the New York City, you got to watch out. The New York City Housing Authority needs more money. Well, we have to charge a surcharge for the housing. What's going to stop them from doing that? Using this logic. And
yeah.
that's another thing I said. I think one of the guys got up there. He said, and at this time, because of the $2.50 surcharge, we are not requiring a fair increase. I could say bullshit. I say full speed ahead. Give me the fare increase I deserve.
Well,
and because what if the $2.50 comes off? What if the $2.50 is thrown
out?
I
think they should give you the $2.50. That would be a nice raise
for
everybody.
Well, we should get at least something equivalent to the $2.50, whether they throw it off or not. Okay. Then let me just say a couple of things. All right. Let me silence you two. You're good, both of you. Okay. But
mm-hmm. we try.
First I want to say. That as far as a fare increase goes, $2.50 or no $2.50, they should find a way to give us a fare increase without adding a surcharge, without increasing the drop, without doing anything like that, just making the mileage rate 10 cents more. Okay, you know, instead of $2.50 a mile, make it $2.60 a mile, or something like that,
mm-hmm.
or $2.80 a mile, or each 50 cent drop, make it 55 cents. Okay. I mean, those nickels will add up, all right, without people getting in.
Sure.
And let me just get a few things off my head here, okay? What's his name? John McDonough. You know, out of all the speakers that were at that meeting, the best speakers were Carolyn, you, Mike, John McDonough, right?
Nikolai,
Peter Mazur. I think I'm leaving somebody out.
Oh, Mike Keogh. Mike Keogh, the lawyer who was working for Committee
okay.
for Taxi Safety.
Okay, and Beta V. Okay, she always makes a lot of sense. Okay, and her sidekick there. What's his name? I forget his name.
Muhammad.
No, not Muhammad. Him and the other guy with the blonde hair. You know.
Oh, Zubin Soleimani. He's the lawyer.
Yeah. Mike just said it. What's his name?
Oh, Lindenauer. I know who you mean.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But you know, I got an email a couple of weeks ago, and I wanted
Bill Lindauer.
Yeah, Bill Lindauer. Right. Yeah. Okay. I met him once. Okay. He's a cool guy. Okay.
Oh yeah. All right. He's funny.
And somebody emailed me a couple of weeks ago and wanted to know if the medallion renewal was waived. A few months ago, it was that being advertised that they were going to waive the medallion renewal fee. Okay.
Then they changed it to postponed. I think you have to beg.
Yeah,
and then
okay.
They let you not pay
Let
while.
Me just say this. I didn't know what to answer him, and I've been waiting myself since my medallion renewal comes up next month. I think everybody's medallion renewal comes up at the end of May. Okay.
Oh, that's what Peter Mazur was talking about.
Yeah, right.
About,
and Peter Mazur, right.
Thousands more medallions on the
right.
shelf.
Right. I was getting that.
Can't even pay
right.
that.
Right. So actually, Peter Mazur answered the question whether or not the medallion fee is waived simply by predicting that thousands of additional medallions will be off the road because people cannot pay this renewal fee. Okay. So maybe
they'll
some.
They'll probably postpone it again.
Well, I'd like
that's
them to
that's what
postpone
they do.
It.
Don't you see? This is the TLC's technique.
Yeah.
They throw you crumbs to distract you and get you off their tail, but they never address the big issue, which is that there's too many cars on the road. There's 120,000 borrowed vehicles on the road. And even though in this report that they released the other day, finally, on Local Law 147's effects, where they say that people who own black cars, about 30% of them, don't renew the license on the car. So if that's true, why isn't the number of cars going down? I don't understand how this is happening. You don't concentrate on that, and then they just concentrate on this, little stuff like driver deactivations or destination filters or, some renewal fee that they'll let you postpone paying for a few months. Mm. Small stuff, but it doesn't help you.
Well, they can delay that medallion renewal for as long as they want, as far as I'm concerned. Okay, they can renew it for they can delay it forever, like they and lay some medallion renewal fees on the app cars. Okay, give them medallions. I want them to have medallions and to be limited like the yellow taxis. Okay.
Hey Carol, that's a great point. And Carol, what is the story with the Uber surcharge money? Now, how are they sending in their money? Are they sending in their money?
Who knows? Who knows if they even send in their sales tax money? I mean, we can't check. They say they are, but I guess they are.
Well, who would have the first information? The TLC would have that information, correct?
I don't know.
Well, they should.
Certainly New York State should have that information, the controller. Dinopoly.
Well, the TLC sees every dime we have on the meter. Wouldn't the TLC have access to find out what Well, we have meters, and the Uber car has a phone. I mean, these guys have...
Right, but then the owners are supposed to send the money in.
The car owners.
Yeah, it's up to the owners. Yeah. If your medallion's leased out, the leasing agent, usually takes
you're
care of it.
You're talking about
if you're running it yourself, you take care of it.
The congestion fee is sent in once a month. They want their money by the 20th of the month. For the previous month,
right.
Okay,
I've already paid twice for my medallion. Okay, I paid. When it went into effect February. I paid March 1st, and the March money I paid April 1st. Okay, I have till the 20th to pay it. But why do I want to keep it in my pocket? Where I can spend it
get rid of it.
Get rid of it as soon as you can. Okay.
No, I would be very, very, very curious as to what the compliance rate is with people sending in this money, because I'm sure there's a lot of medallion owners in that audience who are saying, as soon as they hear that name, Evgeny Friedman, you could see like icicles start to hang from the ceiling.
Friedman still controlling medallions? Is he still? He's not doing anything anymore. He's out of the picture.
I think somebody else is running them for him, or maybe some of them were auctioned off. I don't know.
Yeah.
Haven't heard anything about him lately.
But the other thing here is. With the surcharge money. Now, is that another thing with the fine print where its owner is responsible for all surcharges? I mean, if you're stuck with a Congress that says that, can theoretically some of these guys say, by the way, you don't get the surcharge money for the $3 a trip? Well,
the owner has to collect all of this money from the driver, okay? And the only way he's going to do it is if the credit card money is enough to include all of the money that he has to collect. You know, the owner has to collect the lease money, the credit card the credit card money has to collect. The credit card money has to equal, in order for the owner not to ask the driver for any cash, right?
Or for the owner to lay out the cash.
Right. Well, he has to collect all of these fees, whatever they are, the MTA fee, congestion fee, the TIF fee, all of these things have to, you know, when they come in by the credit card and the owner is in charge of those credit card that credit card money, then the owner has it in his possession to pay all these people. Okay, but you know, there are drivers out there that, I don't have the cash, I cannot give you all the money today. You know, I made too many cash fees. Yeah. It's a problem. It's a problem.
There were a lot of administrative problems with sending in the congestion fee. I heard from some of the leasing agents that New York State passed it, but they didn't even have a mechanism for them to comply with to send the money in. Then they worked all that out afterwards. I mean, it was really done in a very half-assed way. So in the end, who's going to pay this congestion fee? Yellow cabs.
Well, they don't have a way to collect it from Uber.
Where is this lawsuit?
Oh, yeah, let's update some lawsuits. Okay, Taxi Fleet lawsuit Management versus New York State. Okay. That's still ongoing. Nicole Jalinas is the only person I know who reads everything in the world and remembers it. She's at the Manhattan Institute. She read the last version of the congestion pricing law, and it says in there that this board that they haven't created yet is supposed to take into account licensing fees, and that perhaps our fees would be discounted or done away with because of that, because we had to pay so much money to get into the business. That's a new thing that was added. The original version of the bill, we were exempted from the congestion fee. Then I guess we weren't, and now maybe we will be, or partially will be. So thanks to Nicole Jalinas for seeing this, because I think everybody else missed it. So anyway, that lawsuit is still ongoing. And then there's another lawsuit where Lyft is suing the TLC that they don't want to adhere to the driver income rules. They want to do it in their own way instead of per mile and per minute. They want to do it in another way. And the judge in that case, Andrea Maisley, was supposed to come up with a decision last week. I was in the court, and she said, I'll have a decision in 30 days. And she didn't. And I don't know what's going on with that. I have a feeling the city is negotiating behind the scenes. Who knows what they're doing? They're probably changing the rule around to suit Lyft. So we have to see on that one. And then the lawsuit, Singh versus TLC, that's the one where Mirazoshi was deposed. That's still ongoing. I don't know what's happening with that. I don't think there's nothing new that I know of.
So basically, the $250 a trip lawsuit, what in the hell, just the nitty-gritty, where is that? Because the money keeps rolling in. And is it legal or is it not legal? I mean, I'm just curious.
Yeah. No, the money's going, as far as I know, the money is going to New York State. And the lawsuit is still going on. So I don't know what happens if you win. What happens to all that money that you sent in?
Well, the state...
I don't think you can get it back.
What happens is the state is in possession each month of all the money. And I guess anybody that paid it would have to go, you know, make a request from the state.
No, but it's the it won't work because it's the passenger who paid the money. You'd have to find the passengers and give them back the money. I don't think you can do that.
Unless you have your receipt. I mean, if you're a passenger and you have your receipt, I have my receipt. I want my money back, which, you know, I'm sure, which I'm sure Abe would do. I know I would do it.
Well,
and if it's trouble damages, you would think there'd be some trial lawyer who would want a piece of that.
Yeah,
well, I would go for the whole $2.50 if I took one taxi. Okay.
Yeah.
Like send me my money.
It's like if you take twice a day.
Yeah. Right. It's $5 a day.
$1,500 a year. So you give me my money.
Yeah.
But you know how long these lawsuits take. You know, we'll all be gone by the time they settle. You know, Cuomo will be gone. De Blasio will be gone.
And the money will be spent by the state.
The money's already spent. You know, they're probably already creating bonds. you know, $15 billion worth of bonds against $1 billion worth of cash, so they can parlay it.
Let me ask you, what was this thing where they lifted the judge lifted the injunction, and then somebody said, "Oh, well, we're not going to sue the city; we're going to sue the state." Why did they just sue everybody? Why did they remove
that?
The city
is
from the
strangest
law?
Thing. I was in the courtroom. I still don't understand what happened. The judge was saying, "Well, we're dismissing the city part of the lawsuit because we were suing, saying the city hasn't told us what to do. You know, we don't do anything unless the TLC tells us what to do." That was half of the lawsuit, and that part got dismissed by accident, which I don't understand.
By accident?
Yeah, that the judge misunderstood what was happening, but I don't know why we didn't object that day in that court, but I don't know what court procedures are. I have no idea, you know, what you're allowed to do or not allowed to do.
It's just aside from whether the actual 250 is legal, there should have been a public hearing. There should have been due process. There should have been something posted in the city record about the public hearing to see if the people want 250 a trip to save the subways. Oh, and by the way,
yeah, but it's not up to you. It's up to New York State, and it was another one of these 2 o'clock in the morning deals, you know, where it's attached to all the other budget stuff. That's how they do things in Albany. That's how we wind up with all this bad stuff.
Yeah, and I was looking where this the new Senate and the new Assembly leaders' districts are. One guy is literally by City Island, so I think, you know, it's like in the middle of like nowhere, and the other person is out in the middle of Jamaica. So you have one person in the middle of City Island, the other person out in the middle of Jamaica, and they're running the state of New York. And everybody else, like where the core of the people are in Manhattan and Queens and the Brooklyn, I guess it's just a complete chaos. But this deal here. And I was so upset when somebody was saying, "Oh, you know, we won't want to get a fair increase." I want to get a fair increase, and I think we're still on board with some people here, even if it's something, an icebreaker for the 6 years that we get, you know, stooped out of no fair increase. There's got to be something on there for the medallion owners and the cab drivers and so we can eat. I mean, just look at the central the consumer price index for 6 years. Just go for that. And to have the state of New York swoop in and grab $250 a trip from the working poor, first generation working poor, what a bunch of hypocrites! But these are the progressives. These are the great comrade Bill de Blasio progressives and Cuomo, the big blob from upstate New York.
Right, and everything
stole a job of a blind black man.
Everything that de Blasio is going to do in the next couple, you know, year until if he is running for president is, you know, geared toward the national stage. It has nothing to do with us.
Right.
You know, he just...
I think he's a lame duck now. People are saying politically he's just done. He's like, you know... And that's why the subways are screwed up. That's why a lot of the stuff in the city is screwed up. Because if he tries to fix the crazy people on the street with the so-called homeless thing, and if he tries to fix the subways, then he politically owns it. So he wants no political ownership of anything bad going on in the city.
Right.
So that's why the subways will stay filthy, and the homeless will be running buck wild. And also, he's not going to investigate why his wife can't explain where $1 billion went to help the crazy.
Oh,
people.
Speaking of investigations, this is some interesting political gossip. When there's nobody at the helm, all kinds of people will step in and try to take your place. So there's a bill that was introduced in the city council a week ago where they're going to take away the investigatory powers of the Department of Investigation and give it to the public advocate, who is Jumaane Williams.
Jumaane, yeah.
Who is next in line for the mayoralty. If anything happens to de Blasio, Jumaane is mayor. He's a young guy. He's a smart guy. He's an ambitious guy. So you have to wonder what's happening there. And that bill was sponsored by Joe Borelli, who's a Republican. Totally on the opposite end of the spectrum, you would think, from Jumaane Williams. So there's something interesting possibly brewing there. Or maybe it's just leverage against the mayor, you know, that they're threatening to do that, but they won't actually do it. But I thought it was interesting. And one of the people who spoke at the TLC hearing the other day, Raul Rivera, who I think is an Uber driver, he's very against the TLC. He wants them disbanded, broken up, changed, fired, something. And he was off to a meeting with Jumaane Williams after the hearing.
Right. Yeah, that was another great speaker. Yeah.
Right, and he said to them, "Get ready. There's going to be some big changes around here." And that the city council is on board with doing something to the TLC, destroying it, changing it, I don't know what exactly, but he sounded rather threatening. I don't know what their reaction was.
Now, what was his name again? What was that guy's name?
Raul Rivera.
Raul Rivera, and he was a... What was he driving? He was driving a what?
I think he's an Uber driver or a livery driver, I think. I don't think he's a yellow driver.
Well,
now, who was this organization with these T-shirts? There was another organization.
Oh, that's the IDG, the Independent Drivers Guild, who allegedly funded by Uber.
They're funded by Uber? Oh, for God's sake. How do you know they're funded by Uber? Well, that's interesting.
No, actually, they admitted it, and Uber admitted it. They do get money from them.
Independent Drivers Guild. So they had the big red T-shirts and, like a whole worker thing. So they're funded by Uber, which is kind of like the Vortex, which is
Very, very, very thorough. I mean, they leave no stone unturned. They go into every little nook and cranny and try to control everything, and they have. So, they want to be in charge of that, too, and they are.
Yeah. Well, Jumaane Williams is cool. I get a kick out of him. He's got the Tourette's. He's got a Tourette thing going on.
Right.
So, it's the guy, God bless him. But he responds to my tweets. He responded to a couple of tweets. And I started tweeting. We were talking about the Knicks, and you got a kick. We were talking about back and forth, basketball stuff. So, but he responded to my tweet because I said I was upset when he got, not that he got elected with the city, the public advocate for the first round, because he has to get reelected in 2 months, which is some crazy thing. And Borelli is also running. Borelli is in the game for public advocate in 2 months. So Borelli didn't win the little mini election, but he's coming in for public advocate in 2 months, and Ehrlich is not running, so I don't know what the hell's going on.
I didn't know Borelli was running. I thought Ulrich was running. No, it's Borelli?
Now Borelli said he's in the ring, and I don't know if Ehrlich is going to run, and Ehrlich said they should just let Jumaane stay there for 4 years, so I don't know what the hell's going on.
Maybe Jumaane thinks he'll be mayor. could be public advocate.
And I told Jumaane, I said it was a horrible, horrible visual when the day after you basically get elected watchdog of the city of New York, you are seen hugging de Blasio and hugging Corey Johnson in front of City Hall. And as an inspection speech, he goes, so don't worry, I have no intention of running for mayor, ha, ha, ha. So I'm saying to myself, what just happened? Did we just elect, like, de Blasio Jr. and all of a sudden? So how is the guy who's going to hug de Blasio the day after he gets elected going to turn around and investigate and see if he can throw him in jail? I mean, I'm just curious how that works.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see what happens. who knows?
Not to mention his wife. And de Blasio bristles every time you say, like, his wife. It's like, dude, you appointed your wife to be in charge of this billion-dollar thing. We didn't appoint her. You did. I mean, you got people out here who are nice people. It doesn't mean I'm going to give them $1 billion to run an organization for the city. You appointed your wife. Guess what? She's front and center for criticism. I mean, and plus, if she can't explain where $1 billion has gone, then she's really front and center for criticism. So, anyway, go ahead. Abe, you had a couple of things you want to say. I'm an air whore.
It's okay. But I just want to... I want to mention a couple of trivial things here. Okay, I mean, you guys are talking about politics, and the taxi drivers out there, they want to know about what could be done to help them in the taxi. Okay, they don't care who's in office.
Now.
They don't care who's in office as long as everything is okay with them. And I just want to say, John McDonough got up and he said about five things and said, "Thank you, I'm done." Okay, and I made a little note. I listened to his speech, or his report, whatever you want to call it. Okay, and he made, first of all, he's on WBAI, and we missed the Taxi Dave show, something awful. And I looked it up. He's on WBAI on Wednesday mornings between 8 and 10 or 10 and 12. Look it up. The schedule's on.
Definitely look it up, because he told me he did a show with Bruce Schaller recently, and you can get it as a podcast. So that would be very interesting.
Okay, well, just go to the WBAI website, and it's there, I guess. Okay. But he did say a few things that hit the nail on the head. Okay, number one, black taxis in London are exempt from the concession surcharge. Okay?
Right.
Why not us? Uh-huh. Okay? Number two, the meters are too long. I mean, he wants everything, instead of having all of these surcharges all over the meter, the people get in, they think they're in some sort of, like Coney Island ride. You know, I mean, like
in a French restaurant, right. It's like getting into a French restaurant.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I mean, what's this? What's the $2.50? Or what's the dollar? What's the 50 cents? What's and basically yeah. the passengers are driving the drivers nuts. It's, you know, having to explain all of this. You know, he wants just one drop, the 580, whatever it is. You know, put it on there, and if they question it, you could. And, you know, tell them, well, that's what it is now, and it includes the number of taxes, okay, taxes and surcharges,
right.
Okay?
Right.
You know, so
right.
one number on the meter, okay? And then two more things he said, okay? Number one, Uber should be in taxis if they're anywhere at all, okay? They were in taxis in the beginning, but then they decided, what do we need the taxis for? We'll put our own cars out there, you know? Right? Well, they should be in taxis.
Well, as long as the TLC is allowing us, let's take advantage.
Okay, all right. You know. But here's something that really, and I thought of this myself, you know, but I never questioned it, but he brought it to view. Why is one surcharge going to be 60th Street and below while the taxis right. are surcharging 96th Street and below? Okay. And he mentioned, he said, Zabar's isn't in a business district, he said, you know, okay?
I'll tell you something else. Yeah. There's a lot of congestion in Williamsburg and Long Island City. Why isn't there a congestion surcharge there, too?
Okay.
You know, Manhattan isn't the center of the universe. Hold on.
Well, just let me finish, okay? So I agree with him. Why do we have to have an extra 36 bucks on the taxis? You know, and everybody else, if they get a congestion charge, will be 60th Street and below. Okay? We should, if anything, we shouldn't have any surcharge at all, but if we are going right. to have a surcharge, let it all be 60th Street and below. All right, I'm done.
Well, what's going to happen real quick, what's going to happen at 60th Street where people are going to be coming towards 60th Street in their cars and say, wow, if I cross over 60th Street, I'm going to have to pay 10 bucks. Versus peeling off on 61st Street, I'm going to save 10 bucks. There's going to be like 10 blocks of traffic from people avoiding 60th Street and taking right turns on the 61st Street or 63rd Street.
Well, where
Street
are they going to put their cars, though, right?
Or can you imagine the traffic on the drive or the West Side Highway?
Right.
You know, maybe you would have come down 2nd Avenue, but now you're thinking, no, I better get over to the drive and take that, you know, and get out of here because I don't want to pay the surcharge.
This whole thing.
It's we're the ant farm. It's an ant farm.
That should be the headline. Hasty decision. H-E-A.
Yeah.
S-T-I-E. The hasty decision will ruin New York. The guy from from under the bridge in the Bronx, in the North Bronx. I've never heard of this guy. Now he runs the whole state of New York. How the hell does this happen? My God.
It started happening in the 70s when New York City went broke. Because remember before that, you used to have to do a separate New York City income tax return. And then they combined it with the state, and they had the Financial Control Board because we couldn't take care of our own finances. And ever since then, we've been losing sovereignty. Then when they did the green cabs, when the mayor, Bloomberg, went around the city council and went to the state, and they, you know, we did the green cabs. And so we've been losing sovereignty all along. Now this thing. Now Uber's argument in the anti-cap lawsuit is that New York City doesn't have a right to do a cap. It doesn't belong to us. That right belongs to the state, maybe. Although they probably argue with that, too.
What about the EPA? Whatever happened to the good old Environmental Protection Agency? When we tried to get more medallions, or we asked about more medallions, it was over.
I know.
Well, you can't do anything until you pass the EPA. All right, so all of a sudden people don't breathe anymore? So we don't have to care about the air quality?
That's it, Mike. The EPA has choked on the car fumes that have been created, and maybe nobody
maybe they all dropped dead.
That's what happened. All right,
right. You know? The environmental argument isn't even part of this congestion bill. Nobody even brought it up because in 2007, the last time they were considering a congestion, you know, system, that was a big part of it. You know, they were, you know, citing all kinds of statistics, like 86% of environmentally linked cancers or due to vehicle emissions. You know, all kinds of really scary stuff. And it's so much worse now, but nobody even brings it up. I tried to bring it up on the Taxi Dave show last year, and everybody jumped on me and said, oh, no, cars are so clean now. Yeah, okay, maybe, but still, when you put another 100,000 cars on the road, it's not going to do the environment any good. You know, it also churns up the roadbed. You know, you have particulate matter from the tires. It's not just what comes out of the tailpipe. And nobody even wants to hear about it. And 2 million people in the city have asthma. But it's not an issue. Yeah, yeah. It's just not an issue.
Unbelievable. Yeah. But here you get the blast. You're talking about save the planet. And it's like, I feel like I'm waiting for my alarm clock to go off. And this will all have been a bad dream. And I'll be, wake up in a cold sweat and everything will be happy again. We're making money running camps. You know, because this is just a complete nightmare, and it's run by it was all I could do to keep talking in front of these people. Well, I'm saying to myself, they're locked into their political positions. They never drove cabs. They're not really going to work tomorrow morning to change anything. And it jumps back to us, the poor cabbies and taxi owners, to straighten this out. And I'm just curious. All we can do is, I guess, it's like me when I cleaned out my garage. You're not going to do it in a day, but you have to just keep getting stuff taken care of and don't go backwards.
They're never going to do anything. These are show hearings. They do it so they can check the box, met with stakeholders. And basically, I think most of them think the medallion system is a bad system, and they don't want to have a medallion system. But they can't say that because then they would really have to pay off the medallion owners. So they're just going to let it die a slow death. That's what it seems like to me.
They'll never get
rid of
that. They will never get rid of all the medallions. They may get rid of some of the medallions or a third of the medallions. Okay, they will never get rid of all the medallions. Okay.
Well, I'm just wondering why the big shots in this business let it get to this point. I mean, they had the resources 5 years ago when their medallions were worth $1 million a piece, and instead of being proactive, a lot of them sadly, a couple of them sadly went to jail, but a couple of them sadly went to the beach or went to the casino and just hung out versus being proactive to protect their, pardon the brush, but to protect their stuff, you know.
Right.
But
yeah.
It's just, and the other thing now, this $250, this $3 a trip surcharge lawsuit. I got to tell you, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a couple of snakes in the grass who are not heartbroken that they're allowed to hold $3 a trip for a month in their pockets, because God knows what they're doing for 2 weeks with the money that they have to send in 5 weeks. That's my opinion. But hopefully they'll be compliant. But I'd like to have a right to know if these guys are sending, and gals are sending in that money. I mean, I there's got to be a couple of people who got stuck and don't have the money. It's a lot of money. So go ahead, guys. I'm just curious. Any news on that?
Well, you know, there is no news, but you do have a point there that some taxi owners, you know, just need the money to keep pay their bills, okay?
To survive.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So like Carolyn said, we shouldn't be holding the money in the first place. The money should go directly to the state, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We need a fare increase. You know, we need to make more money.
We need a fair increase.
Need a fair increase. We need more money to, you know, everything goes up. Everything goes up. Especially now that interest rates have gone up. You know, inflation kicks in. Once interest rates go up, inflation kicks in. For many years, the interest rate was almost nothing. Right? Okay?
Yeah, for about 10 years.
Yeah.
They wiped out a whole generation of old people who were conservative investors who had their money in savings accounts and short-term treasuries. They wiped those people out.
Everything
goes up. Whatever it is, whatever you were buying, you know, food in the grocery store, okay? I'm surprised insurance hasn't gone up, I don't think, for the taxis for a long time. I'm not suggesting it should, okay? But I fear that it will. I fear that it will, okay?
Gasoline is going up a lot, isn't it?
Oh, gasoline. You know, where I am, 18 months ago, it was $1.99 a gallon, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now it's up to like $2.80 or $2.90, okay?
Wow.
All right?
Yeah.
And
that's a 50% increase.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
I know, right. Well, it's better than the $4 it was 7 years ago. Okay?
But, yeah.
Well, they're sneaking it back to $4 up here, Abe. Let me tell you, back in good old New York City, they've been inching it up, and they all inch it up at the same time. And I'm looking at the price per barrel for oil, and I think a lot of that is just taxes and fees and surcharges. Surcharge is the darling of the of the state of New York now. They don't say tax. They say, oh, no, it's not a tax. It's a surcharge. So, well, you know, you still got to pay more.
Well, let me say this. Beta V is a very smart woman. Okay?
God bless Beta V.
All right. And she wants, and I go along with this very much, she wants that the medallion rates should go up some, as I'm suggesting, but she wants a bill that says, and this bill does not exist, and she's been asking for it for a long time, that no other transportation, you know, like app cars or whatever, you know, it could charge less than what the taxis charge. Okay?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's not how the Uber business model works. Because even though I see some people on your website are quoting, like, Uber prices and that they're higher than yellow taxi prices, and they might be nominally, but practically they're not, because Uber is giving discounts all the time. I mentioned it at the meeting on Thursday, 40% off on your next 10. I probably shouldn't say that on your show, but 40% off on your next 10 rides.
Yeah.
So that makes cash of that. You know, they're very flexible. They have dynamic pricing. It changes, you know, every minute. This, you know, you could have two people on the same corner going to the same place and be charged different prices by different Uber cars, depending on how much resistance Uber thinks they have. Uber knows when your cell phone is low, when the battery is low.
Yeah, I read that.
Because they know you're desperate to get into into a car or a cab. Yeah, sure. I mean, they have it all figured out.
But another cabbie told me at the hearing, which is that this is a good way. Hey, you've been preaching to for me to go to hearing, so I'm gonna go to hearing.
Well, now that you've gotten your feet wet, it's time to get the rest of your body in. Okay.
Well, I think I got my underwear wet too, because I had to wait for 2.5 hours to speak. So hopefully I can get at the top of one.
We always stop at the bathroom first, because you always know it's going to be a very long morning.
Yeah, wear a diaper.
Oh my God. Well, now I know.
Yeah.
Now I know. But the one there was one Uber driver I was sitting next to, and I saw you had all these cab drivers, and I was you had to pick your conversation, because, like, oh, you know, these Uber cars are ridiculous. I'm an Uber driver. Oh, sorry, Fabio. So I was sitting next to one guy, and he said about them getting their phone turned off, like, all of a sudden you'll have a problem with a customer, you won't know anything, you won't even know who the person is, but they complain by text. So there's not even a hearing. They just shut you off the platform and you can't get Uber calls anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy told me, which is interesting, I don't know how true it is, but he says, if you finance your car with Uber or one of their affiliates, they don't throw you off as fast if they got you on the hook for money.
Yeah.
Versus if you're just some guy with a phone who has a car paid off, they throw you off right away. So if any trial lawyers out there want a class action, that's a pretty good class action. Like, if you're financed and have your car financed through Uber, to give you a little more slack versus, you know, you're paid off and you're just driving for Uber, then off you go. So I'd be interested to see if that's true. But Abe, I got to...
Yeah, no, I'm sure it is true. But let me just get back to Beta V for a second. First of all, I want to give her credit for going up to Albany twice to fight, you know, against the congestion fee.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. On yellow cabs. That's why she was up there. And I don't see anybody else doing anything about that. I was up there with them on those two occasions. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they have a rally, they talk to the press, then you fan out and you go talk to different legislators if you can corner them in their offices, which they never seem to be in their offices.
Well, wait. Now, are the same people going to be holding the congestion pricing money that are holding the surcharge? Now, if you're collecting $3 a trip, are the same people going to be holding $10 a day? Because, I mean, I'm just going to say, right now you got a lot of people holding money that they...
Yeah.
You have a lot of people in... B stage, like A, B, C, like A is the cabbie collecting money, B is the person holding it, C is the state of New York. You're going to be holding onto a lot of money and being the middleman before sending it in.
I think they're going to do the $10 surcharge per car with Easy Pay.
Right.
I think that's how they're doing it, right?
Right.
And it may be limited to some hours, maybe, you know.
If it's done with Easy Pay, then the MTA gets the money.
Yeah, right. And Abe was saying that the money isn't even going directly to the bus and train. He says you send it into the state of to the Department of Finance, and there's no Department of Finance / bus / subway / MTA. It's just the good old Department of Finance, which is like just throwing a bucket of water into the East River. You know, it's just like it's gone. You don't even know where it's going.
Yeah, I would imagine there's going to be a lot of follow up by reporters on this, but you know, we'll see. what happens. Sure. But getting back to the Beta V and the TWA, so I give a full credit, you know, for trying to help with the surcharge and get that eliminated or a carve-out for yellow taxis. On the other hand, if you're advocating for better working conditions, pay for app drivers, that's actually bad, because the better you make things for app drivers, the more of them will sign up and want to drive for Uber and Lyft. And that's not what we want. That isn't even what the Uber drivers want. We all know there needs to be less drivers and less cars on the road.
Listen,
I don't know how you reconcile
Wasn't part of the bills passed last August where they had to figure out just how many cars are actually needed?
Yes. They haven't done that as far as I can see. Yeah. That would have been the first thing I would have done.
I would have done that, said, 10 years ago.
Well, yeah.
20 years ago.
In fact, oh, yeah.
You know something? Before Uber, when I was writing for the Mini Press, okay, I would go out on assignment, and I remember standing when the TLC building was on 32nd Place on Queens Boulevard, right where the elevated number 7 train is. Okay.
Right.
I remember standing. I went up to the top of the platform for the 7th train because I had a good shot to take a picture of the building, and there was a line of drivers for FHV vehicles. Okay. Mm-hmm. Actually, going around the block, not in single file. I mean, there was. It looked like Yankee Stadium was. You know, the tendency of Yankee Stadium was put on that block. That one.
How long ago was this?
This was in like the year 2000 or even before.
Oh, so they were
that.
Applying for yellow text.
No, they weren't yellow. These were FHV vehicles.
Really?
Okay, all right. Uh-huh. And these people were renewing licenses or getting licenses. Okay, and at that particular moment, I thought to myself, why don't they just figure out how many of these vehicles are actually needed? Okay.
Right. But let's say Uber and Lyft could have 100% utilization rate, meaning their cars, whenever they're on the road, there's always a passenger in them 100% of the time. There would still be a problem because it'd still just be too many cars on the road.
But there aren't passengers in there 100% of the time.
No, I know.
Yeah.
But the TLC is saying, well, if they could get their utilization rate up, that will be better. But it's a funny thing because then the drivers will be getting paid less per trip. So they'll be working harder, doing more trips, but getting paid less per trip. That's kind of a perverse incentive.
You know something? It might take 20 or 30 years, unfortunately. But I think that eventually things will get down to where they were before, you know, where the number of vehicles are limited to what's needed. Okay? And
this is how we were created in the first place in 1937.
I know.
Yeah.
Because they had a bloodbath with people killing each other in the streets with taxi gangs,
mm-hmm.
and they put a cap on it. And you say to yourself, nothing has changed in 80 years, except we have a bunch of screwballs who are fly-by-night politicians who are just pimping out the first-generation immigrants and pimping out me for that fact, too, the American who's been born and raised here. And I'm just wondering at what point. Well, common sense has no place in this city. And you say to yourself, right now there's 100,000 TLC vehicles. There's 8 million New Yorkers. That means there's one car for 80 people. So if you have a TLC car sitting in front of your house or on your block of your house or in your apartment building, there's like one car for 80 people. How many of these freaking cars do you need? Not to mention the subways and the bus. So there's probably, given that factor, there's probably one TLC car for every 20 people. How many cars? You don't need one car for every 20 people. It's ridiculous.
Right, and then once you have that car that you're paying $500 a week for, you're going to use the car for errands, to go to the doctor, whatever. You're going to be using that car all the time because
you
already paid
for it. And you have to park that car.
Right.
On the street.
Okay.
There's no parking anymore. The parking is gone around here. I'm out in Queens. I'm out in Brooklyn. You got to do laps. You got to look for a space for like half an hour and it's impossible. All the spaces have been taken. And
Mike, the kids
who go to school,
this was true 30 years ago. Okay? I mean, you couldn't find a parking
space.
It's
truer today.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was the parking problem that drove me out of Brooklyn. Okay? Back in the 1980s.
Still a big problem.
Okay? back in the late 1970s, the 1980s, you know, I would go and I used to work for a fleet in Brooklyn, okay? And I was able to park my car by the fleet in their parking lot, okay? Take the car, go. I used to work the night shift, work until about 1 or 2 a.m., right? Get in my car and then drive home, okay? And find that I could not park my car. So this was, I used to say, so this is my thanks from New York City for chauffeuring around all the people that needed to get home. My thanks for a parking ticket to take all the money I just made away. You know?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
And that's when I decided.
Where was your garage back, where was your garage back in the days? Where was your garage?
2222 Tilden Avenue. Okay? And prior to that, it was at Flatbush and Nostrand. There were two garages there.
Okay.
Okay? And where did I live when I got all these parking tickets? I lived on Ocean Avenue and Avenue H. Okay?
Avenue H.
Okay. And I, you know, and I said to myself, I don't know where I'm going to move, but I guarantee one thing. Wherever I move, I'm going to be able to park my car.
That's why people move to the suburbs.
Well, that's where I wound up in the Catskill Mountains. Okay,
right.
All right, which yeah, wasn't such
far.
A bad idea, okay?
Yeah.
I lived there for 28 years, you know, in one location, the last location I was in, okay? And I was able to get to Manhattan in 2 hours and 15 minutes on Sunday morning, okay?
Mm-hmm.
On Sunday morning when there wasn't
a
lot of
thing.
Traffic. If I would come in during the week, it would take me a little bit longer, okay?
So you would do 2 hours each way, and then you would drive a shift.
I would
two shifts.
Well. Here's what I was doing back then. You couldn't do now. Okay, which was I would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, leave my house at 6, get to my taxi at 8, and work until midnight. From 8 a.m. to midnight. Okay. So they put a stop to that now. I wouldn't be able to work past like 9 or 10 p.m. Okay, all right.
Well, it depends how many hours you have a passenger.
Yeah, I know. I know. But and then I would drive home, to upstate New York. Okay, Mike, you remember one time helping me out in a snowstorm, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It took me. I drove home. It took me 5 hours to do a 2 hour drive, in my all wheel Subaru. Okay.
In the all-wheel Subaru.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so...
Right, in the middle of a blizzard? In the middle
of a 26-inch blizzard. It's no 26 inches so that Sunday night, okay? And I drove home in that, all right? And that's when I decided, I don't know where I'm going, but wherever I go, there won't be any snow.
And that's when I decided you're crazy.
Now you just have hurricanes.
And I'll be able to park my car. All right, and I won't.
Yeah.
And I won't have to. Yeah. I won't have to get my car inspected every year. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's true.
I do not have to get my car inspected every year. All right.
Well, the Catskills are still there, and I know a lot of drivers live outside the city, and I don't know if they do your commute.
Yeah.
You have a lot of people out there now who they live way, way outside. Like you live in
Pennsylvania, like in New Jersey. Yeah, I know some people in Jersey who drive cabs. That's a hell of a commute.
Yeah. And I was often wondering if one day we're going to have reciprocity with Florida. Because you got a lot of cabbies, they do two on, two off. They buy these little ranch houses in Florida. I was talking to one Haitian guy at the airport. I say, where do you live? He goes, well, I have an apartment in Florida, but the other day I bought a house. No, he has a house in Florida that he just bought for cash.
Uh-huh.
And he has a rent control apartment in Brooklyn. I said, wait. I said, so what do you do? He goes, I do basically 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. Because you have to live in the apartment in Brooklyn to keep the apartment.
Right.
You have to buy the house for cash because the bank won't lend you money on a second residence most times. And then if you take a bank loan out for a mortgage, you have to put yourself down as the primary residence, Florida, so then you're screwed out of driving a cab in New York.
And you're screwed out of your apartment. Yeah, right.
You're screwed out of the apartment. Because the apartment people will find out on the internet that you took out a loan, and then it's the River Dirty Roma. So he did that. He bought his little shack in Florida where he lives for nothing, and he still has rent control in Brooklyn, and he commutes. He goes two on and two off, so he makes cabbie money in New York, goes back to Florida. He's been doing this for years.
So he drives every 2 weeks from Florida to New York in his taxi?
He says sometimes he'll fly in, but he says the whole time he drives in because he's got all this, like, he's got his 2 weeks of stuff in the car.
Where is the cab? Lives in New York?
It's a New York City cab. If the cab stays in New York, I think
you can drive. It depends which part of Florida you're in. If you're in the northern part, it's 6 hours less. But from South Florida to New York City, you could do that in 24 hours. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Well, he said he was in the northern part, like around the Panhandle.
Okay, so they cut it down to 18 hours. Okay? That's mm-hmm. one
and
long...
And he knocks it out.
That's one
oh,
long...
It's, yeah, it's like that, one shift.
It's one long double shift. One long double shift. You know, but then you need a day to recover from that, okay?
Yeah, no, he says he's done it in a day. He said he leaves some days. He'll leave at like 5:30 or 6 in the morning, straight shot to New York, and he's there at midnight. And then the next day, I guess he just turns the phone off and sleeps all day. And then he gets his cab, and he's got a routine. And I thought he was nuts, but you do the math. Maybe he's not so crazy after all. But you get people doing
it. It works.
You know? It works.
Yeah, maybe he has a driver for the other 2 weeks when he's not driving.
No, he does.
He
said he has a driver for the other 2 weeks.
Right,
he has a 2 week
that makes
driver.
Sense.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know if that's the third millennium that we're entering into, but it's a very strange way to make a living. But if you can squash 2 weeks of cab driving into your pocket and go back to Florida, I guess you're ahead of the game. Because he said he bought the house down there, like a ranch house for, what was it, $85,000 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it taxes nothing. So he just goes down and he chills. You know, he's in Florida. He's in he's got the beach. He's got the schools are better. Every now and then they get a gun nut because you can walk around with a gun on your hip out in Florida. But
or a hurricane
gets up here too. Yeah. Or a hurricane, right? That's a little forgot about that.
Yeah.
But anyway, listen. May I have permission to leave now? Because I have to do stuff.
You have permission.
You guys are going to stay on the show?
Should we end the show?
I think we've pretty much covered everything, okay?
Yeah.
It was a great show, by the way. Very eclectic mix of topics. But I think the yellow cab will survive. From what I heard at the meeting, you still got people who love driving yellow cabs. I like driving a yellow cab. It's just the money. Pay the cab drivers. What is with these people? And that's what I said. At least give us a group ride. Instead of these measly chiseling $3 a piece. No, come on. Give the cabbie $10 a piece for a group ride. What's their problem? Why do they keep chiseling the cabbies? Who are these people? What is their problem? I mean, did their like wife run over the cab driver or something? And what the hell is their anti cab driver bias? Ridiculous. Unbelievable. Anyway, that's my spiel.
All right, Mike, let me just close the show, and I want to thank all of our sponsors on NYC Taxi News. Okay, the MTBOT, Checker Management, Queens Medallion, McGinnis Management, okay, and WB Taxi.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to thank them for sponsoring us, and if you want to sponsor us, if you want to become a sponsor, just go to the website and send us an email or give us a call. There's a phone number there, okay?
No experience necessary. Abe makes a great ad. He makes a great ad, this guy, let me tell you. And all you got to do is pay with a little credit card or, a PayPal. And you're in business, so don't worry about it. It's like you got to get a design guy to make an ad and all this web stuff, geek stuff. Abe will do it. Abe makes it from scratch, and the prices that are I can't even say price you can afford. I'm embarrassed to see how cheap the ads are, but they are very reasonable. And Carolyn, you do as always a great job. Abe, you're the high priest of website design and cab driver defense.
Not to mention all the information that he puts out there. You're the go-to source for anything taxis that I want to know about. It's on your website.
I want to thank you, Carolyn, for supplying me with a lot of information.
Well, and you have some other helpers, and they are.
I do. Okay.
Who come up with some very interesting things.
You can see me at the TLC meeting at the end of it, and I'm there with a woolly beard where I look like a maniac, which kind of works for the TLC meeting.
It does.
Just keeping
it does. It's good.
You look like you just got out of your homeless shelter and came to the meeting.
They won't let me in. I've tried to get into the homeless shelter. I'm not allowed. They said, you can't do it. You're
okay.
Not looking like that. So.
All right. Everybody out there, thanks for listening. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again soon. Okay, everybody say goodbye.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Goodbye, world.
Have a good day.
Thank you very much.